This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
There's just a couple more weeks left in February, but yet here we are, kicking it down the road. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, we have rolled out the red carpet for you, whether you're with us for the first time or you've been here many, 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 many times. Vladimir Putin, the man behind what's happening in Russia, is not rolling out any red carpets. In fact, he's ordering troops to two Ukraine regions after declaring them independent. I know you're not shocked, right? Do we have any kind of a hybrid war perhaps happening here with the Ukraine? I would say yes, not us with the Ukraine, but perhaps Russia with the Ukraine. I've been asked the question over and over again, why should we give a crap about what's happening in the Ukraine? In fact, somebody phrased it that very way to me in an email that was Big Al. He said, I love you, Kate Delaney, but why do we care about what is going on in the Ukraine? For one reason, I talked about the troops and the fact that we are invested in this and part of NATO and have pledged that. And our president has said that. And he will, in fact, rally those troops if necessary. So that puts people that we know and love in harm's way. Here's the other thing. If you look at the Ukraine, it is the second probably largest country area-wise on a map in Europe. And if you look at that, a population of over 40 million more than Poland. So what does the Ukraine have that Russia wants besides that big piece of territory? Well, first in Europe, the Ukraine is, in proven recoverable reserves of uranium ores. Second place in Europe and 10th place in the world, the entire world, in terms of titanium ore reserves. But that's not all. There's oh so much more. Third place in Europe, 13th in the world, in shale gas reserves, 22 trillion cubic meters. Fourth in the world by the total value of natural resources. Seventh in the world in coal reserves. Do you wonder what Vladimir Putin is doing and what he's thinking? How about this? If you also look at the Ukraine, it is the third largest iron exporter in the world, fourth largest exporter of turbines for nuclear power plants in the world, fourth world's largest manufacturer of rocket launchers. Not just a big piece of land anymore, huh? Fourth place in the world in clay exports. Ninth place in the world in exports of defense industry products. Just part of the many reasons why the Ukraine would be so much better off, as far as I'm concerned, if it is still independent and not connected to Russia. Will that happen? Hopefully not, because I think it's game on if Putin goes full bore. But ordering troops into two separatist Ukraine regions is not good. The White House has not announced full sanctions at this point. We keep hearing the word sanctions, 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 sanctions. What do sanctions mean? What are they going to really do to stop Vladimir Putin? How do you keep the peace in the Ukraine? Putin's actions that I just mentioned are in direct defiance of U.S. and European warnings. And, of course, were swiftly condemned by D.C. and Brussels with the promise of sanctions in response to the recognition of the self-declared republics. Our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, decried the recognition as a clear attack on Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Do you think they were thinking about that as they pushed onward? Putin keeps getting his hooks closer and closer into the Ukraine. there are close to 190,000 Russian personnel and forces, enabling forces, amassed around the borders. Even as the top Russian officials are denying plans that they're mounting any kind of an offense in the Ukraine. What do you think? Do you think they're doing that? Of course they're doing that. Putin said during a speech that the Ukraine has never had its own authentic statehood. He delved into Soviet history to undermine the idea of the Ukraine as an independent nation. He dismissed the Ukraine as a puppet state of the West and warned that the country could develop its own nuclear weapons, calling this a real threat that the West might help the Ukraine achieve. For weeks, Russian officials have falsely been claiming that the Ukraine is preparing an offensive to retake the breakaway territory in Donbass. In his speech, Putin sort of threatened the Ukraine with a broader war if Ukrainian forces didn't immediately stand down, and said otherwise all responsibility for the possible continuation of bloodshed will be completely, entirely on the conscience of the regime's ruling Ukrainian territory. He used the word bloodshed. Should we not worry about the Ukraine? So let me tell you about the Donbas region. Since 2014, it's been divided into separate territories. There is the one controlled part of Donetsk and Luhansk and the Separatist People's Republic. Russian-backed separatists control only about one-third of the region, about 6,500 square miles along the border with Russia. This was a speech very much to the people of Russia to tell them, I am justifying a war. Ukrainian President Zelensky for weeks has been urging the West to impose sanctions. Oh, there's that word again. In response to the buildup of Russian forces and material around his country. But U.S. and many European officials have said the threat of sanctions should function as a deterrent to Putin and be triggered only after he invades the Ukraine. Only after he invades it. So new sanctions are going to be imposed on Tuesday. What do you think they'll be? We don't know. The administration has also announced a ban on U.S. trade with the breakaway regions. Late on Monday, the United Nations Security Council held an emergency meeting on the Ukrainian crisis, followed by a request citing Russia's decision to recognize the separatist regions, I tried to explain. Ukrainian's ambassador to the United Nations formally requested the meeting in a letter that cited Russia's recognition of those two areas as independent nations, as well as Moscow's ongoing aggravation of the security situation around the Ukraine and threat to international peace and security. Russia is really on the make for the Ukraine. What a what, my friends, will we do? And do you care? Good news, the State Department, which evacuated the U.S. Embassy, that's a good thing. In all areas, out of precaution, said embassy workers would be staying over the border in Poland and commuting to carry out their duties. The saga continues. Here at home, from east to west, a lot to talk about next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of the deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Common. They've gone through the roof. If you're a renter, has it been a little bit more insane for you lately? I have a couple of friends that rent, and they're telling me horror stories, even about a parking space for one of them that is just a carport that suddenly went up to $250 a month, and before it was $50. The rent also went up 30% in Dallas, Texas. So now we're finding across the nation that rents in some of the biggest metro areas, in the 50 largest, in fact, the median rent rose an astounding, ready for this? This is shocking, 19.3%. That was from December 2020 to December 2021, and these numbers are not made up. They're from Realtor.com. They did an analysis of properties with two or fewer bedrooms. Nowhere did we see a bigger jump than in the Miami metro area. The median rent went from, let's say, $2,850, 49.8% higher than the previous year. Some of the other cities that have seen it go through the roof, a lot of them in Florida, Tampa, Orlando, and Jacksonville. Why do you think that is? Because people move to those areas. The Sunbelt destinations of San Diego, Las Vegas, Austin, Texas, Memphis, Tennessee all saw big spikes of more than 25% during the same period. Rising rents are certainly an indication of higher inflation that has become one of the nation's top economic problems. Oh, I hate that ugly word, inflation. Labor Department data, they cover existing rents as well as new listings. That's where they get their information from. That's what they're looking at. Shows smaller increases, but they're also picking up. Rental costs rose 0.5% in January from December. That's according to the Labor Department. It's the biggest increase, even though that seems kind of small compared to the numbers I just said, in 20 years, and they're saying it's going to accelerate. If you rent, oh, I hope you have a good lease. And you're staying where you are, and you haven't seen it shoot up.
economists worry about the impact of rent and the increases on inflation, because the big jumps in new leases feed into what? The consumer price index. And that's how you measure inflation. So inflation, we know this number. I've said it so many times. In a sea of numbers, and you get lost in your head with these numbers. When I say almost 8%, in fact, the hard number is 7.5% in January from a year earlier, that's the biggest we've seen in four decades, right? Housing is part of that. Things have gotten so awful in Boston. Boston has nearly overtaken San Francisco as the nation's second most expensive rental market. That's a big surprise. $2,700 a month for really teeny tiny places, and even much more if they're bigger. Then you look at the U.S. Census Bureau, rental vacancy rates during the fourth quarter of 2021 fell to 5.6%, the lowest since 1984. So without a lot of rental vacancy that the landlords usually have, that gives them pricing power because they don't have empty units. Supply and demand, baby, we understand that. Construction crews are trying to bounce back from material and labor shortages that at the start of the pandemic made a pre-existing shortage of new homes worse, leaving an estimated shortfall, according to Realtor.com again, of 5.8 million single-family homes. That's a 51% leap from the end of 2019. And I don't want you to get lost in all these numbers. Just know that it's pretty bleak. It's pretty bleak. And hopefully, if you're in some of these areas, I know we got a lot of people listening to us in Arizona, and you know it. People in Texas know it. People in Florida know it. People are moving there, or started moving there during the pandemic, and that sent things in different directions. And look, only two states, California and Oregon, where we have people listening to us, have statewide rent control laws, while three others, New York, New Jersey, and Maryland, have laws allowing local governments to pass rent control ordinances. Otherwise, it's the Wild West. In fact, laws in some states like Arizona actually restrict local jurisdictions, from limiting what landlords can charge tenants. So, again, Arizona restricts those local areas from that limiting thing. In Tucson, so many people listen to us on the great KVOI. In fact, many of you have written to me about what your situations are like when we talk about inflation. The mayor's office said that they have been flooded with calls from people worried about rent hikes after a California developer recently bought an apartment complex that catered to older people and raised rents by, ready, 50%. Forcing out many of the people on the fixed incomes. The rent on a one-bedroom apartment in that complex went from $579 to $880 a month. An increase, by the way, that is legal under Arizona state law. Not a concern when we're not in this situation, probably, but a very big concern where we sit at this point in our history with inflation at 7.5%. And then you look at oil, and we know, look, you pull up at the pumps, you know what it is. Oil is near $100 a barrel. If you have some oil stocks, you're probably happy. But when I look at Brent crude, which is where I get some of my numbers, it's 96.80. That's almost a 1.5% increase. It is 1.5% increase. And, of course, those are changing by the moments, because I look at all of the oil markets, actually, and they're all in that direction. But I look at Brent crude. And so, to me, when I look at that number and I see it, yes, we are getting very close to $100 a barrel for oil. So that is back to that inflation thing, my friends. And some of you are really going to get pinched by this. And of course, it also depends on how far you maybe travel to work. And if you are traveling to work, and do you have kids that you have to cart around to different schools and different areas and all of that. I don't want to be a negative Nancy, a cliche term to say the least, but it's not looking good, my friends. So, yes, I go back to the Ukraine and being concerned about what's happening in the Ukraine, because guess what? All that stuff that I just talked about, oil and inflation, some of that plays into this, too, as well. Because what happens? Are we putting our chips all the way in on the table on this? Somewhat we are. And, of course, for Europe, it's a disaster because of a mega pipeline that Russia feeds so much of the oil that Europe needs. So there's a crazy end game here. There's no question about it. No question about it. Hey, coming up in this hour, what's on tap will round out the hour. Plus, we also have your thoughts in the mailbag. Remember, 24/7, you can send me those thoughts. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Are we desperate for some really good news? Well, we don't have to be desperate for good news. There are good things happening in this country. I look around at some of the things that people are doing and how innovative they're being and how much fun, frankly, some people are having because things have loosened up. And I like that. That makes me smile. I'm seeing more people that are out at parks. I'm seeing more people that feel a little bit calmer about where we are in the world, whether they should be or not. Are we in an endemic? Have we said goodbye to the pandemic? Well, not officially, but it sure does feel a lot better, doesn't it? And it does. And that's why we don't want inflation to now spoil the party. Get out of here, Mr. Inflation. We want nothing to do with you because we're just starting to feel good after being burned out, frustrated, and frosted off about some of the things that we've had to deal with in the last 2.5 years. We want to move on, right? We do. We want to move on and live. And hopefully a lot of you are embracing that. All right, you know how I can get geeked out by what I see in the sky? There was a solar eruption that captured a crazy, unprecedented image. You know that whole thing about looking up? Forget what the movie said. Definitely look up. A striking and unprecedented image of solar eruption has been captured by NASA and the European Space Agency's Solar Orbiter spacecraft. I just read that today. It's the largest solar prominence ever observed in a single image with the full disk of the sun. How cool is that? The full disk. So this happened on February 15th, and it extended millions of miles into space. So you can see that image. Just put solar orbiter into whatever your search engine is. The full sun imager is so cool, and it's designed to capture the full solar disk even during close passages of the sun. So what we're seeing is so unique. Take a look at it. You'll see the radius of the sun. It's very, very cool.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Russian President Vladimir Putin, in a carefully choreographed political event, moved to recognize the independence of separatist regions in eastern Ukraine. The pro-Russian leaders of the separatist group were shown on TV pleading with Putin to acknowledge their independence. That was followed by an hour-long broadcast speech that culminated with the signing of the recognition decrees. The move has increased war fears in Europe. Canadian lawmakers voted to extend emergency powers to allow police to quell any potential restarts of protest blockades by those opposed to COVID-19 restrictions. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said the powers were still needed despite police ending a trucker convoy that blocked the downtown core of Ottawa, Canada's capital. Trudeau noted there were some truckers who might be planning further blockades. This is USA Radio News. Will a fourth COVID vaccine booster shot be needed? USA's Tim Burke reports that is currently being discussed.
While there's no timetable on if and when a fourth COVID booster may be recommended, an FDA spokesman did confirm they are looking into new data to evaluate future possible COVID vaccines. As far as who will need that fourth booster, Dr. Megan Rainey is an emergency physician. She tells CNN,
people who are immunosuppressed, those folks should be going out and getting their fourth shot because it is the equivalent of a third shot for the rest of us.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Lawmakers in Idaho have approved a bill making it illegal for neighbors to deliver one another's ballot to the post office. Under the bill, delivering 10 or more ballots to the post office for others would be a felony. Delivering fewer than 10, that would be a misdemeanor. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail for you all day, okay?
Oh, yeah.
What? Stick in the mail,
man. Stick in the mail, man.
Yeah!
All right, once again, just an overwhelming amount of mail. Thanks for that. Really interesting to go through it. The last day, and we start here with Jake. Jake, who emails us frequently, and then he disappears because he gets deep into work, and I understand that. And he is, like so many of us, different kinds of hours, right? So that means sometimes he's more on the 9 to 5, and sometimes he's kind of on the overnight shift, if you will. Jake listens to us in Texas. And Jake says this, hey, Kate, I watched some of the Olympics, and I have to tell you, it really was, in some cases, I had to turn it off because I thought it was boring, but in other cases, there was like the snowboarder, Chloe Kim, who had a hot gold medal run and a giant smile and was waving that American flag, and I was pretty proud of her. I thought what she accomplished is something I would never accomplish in my life. I think I'm pretty hot when I could just go down a run and stay up straight in Taos, New Mexico, on a snowboard. I know you've been there, so you know what I mean. So people with prowess on ice and snow should be proud representing the United States. It was a bummer about Mikaela Shiffrin, who you mentioned many times, because she had five shots. One of them, of course, was a team deal in alpine skiing, but that's the breaks. She certainly has won lots of other medals for the United States. And then there was that blight about Kamila Valieva, who was the 15-year-old skater who should never have been on the ice, and that really destroyed figure skating to me because constantly it was being talked about. Then she was hysterical on the ice. It was like they were child abusing her, the Russians, by throwing her out there to the wolves, and she fell several times, and then still finished fourth ahead of the Americans, but did not finish on the podium, and that's the good news there. But there were other moments that were equally as awe-inspiring, so I would say the times that I tuned in when it was something I could really watch, like the mono bobsled, the bobsled, any of that kind of stuff, some of the aerial
things that happened on skis to me. It was very, very cool. And Elena Myers Taylor carrying the American flag in the closing ceremony. I tuned in just to see that little part of it. Was really, really awesome because she tested positive for COVID-19, as you know, so she had to be confined to a hotel lifting weights to get herself prepared for the Olympic runs, and she won a couple of medals. So overall, good in some parts, boring in other parts, and really probably not a huge ratings boon for NBC, one of your old networks. Yes. Thanks for that, Jake. I like it. You summed it all up for me. Thank you. I agree with you. There were moments that were incredible. I think going in the bird's nest for the closing ceremonies, Elena Myers Taylor, you just mentioned, carrying the American flag. She couldn't do it when she was tapped to do it for the opening ceremonies. She got to do it in the closing ceremonies. She won a silver medal in the mono bobsled, and in the two-woman bobsled, she got a bronze. And so it was really exciting to see her do that. And she became, by the way, the oldest American woman to win a medal in the winter and the most decorated black athlete in Olympic Winter Games history. It was just some good moments and some moments that probably tuned out, and that's why the ratings overall, ratings for the Olympics, in fact, I was just looking at them the other day because every night was a little bit different, but then if you were to take it overall, it was a sizable drop, of course, from 2018. Smallest audience that we've seen in a long time. In fact, the average, according to something I saw in The Hollywood Reporter, because they were talking about NBC Universal, since they put it on all their platforms, 11.4 million viewers. So that's a 42% drop compared to the 2018 Winter Games and a 26% decrease compared to last year's Tokyo Olympics, which, by the way, the Tokyo Olympics, of course, what were they? Summer Olympics, much more popular, I think. Was the streaming audience decent? The streaming audience was pretty good. On Peacock, NBCOlympics.com, the NBC app, they got an average primetime viewership of 500,000 plus. And U.S. viewers logged 4.3 billion minutes of Olympics coverage over 18 days across all the platforms. So I guess if you look at it from that perspective, streaming, and we live in a streaming world, that's pretty decent. But the ratings weren't good. You heard the numbers. Boy, this show is all about numbers, isn't it? And it's all hovering around that 40, 50%, ironically, I guess, in a sense. All right, let's go to this one from Joe, who says, Kate, have you ever taken up skydiving, or have you ever just gone once or wanted to do it? I've wanted to do it my whole life, and then I hear these stories. I know it's probably out of however many people skydive, it's very minuscule, but I just saw another story about an instructor dying after a parachute didn't open. Did you hear that story? It was somebody in Texas. I did. You're talking about it happened over the weekend, so it made a big splash. And this was a popular place. It was called Skydive Houston. I know some people that actually have gone skydiving through them. And it was there was a female skydiving customer and her male instructor. They were doing a tandem jump Saturday afternoon. A city near a city that was northwest of Houston, and the parachute just didn't open. The primary and the secondary parachutes both just swirled down. So both were flown to the big hospital in Houston. They were listed in critical condition on Saturday night. And then you investigate, well, who packed the parachute? What happened? The FAA looks at all sides of this, and jump operations get suspended because they're looking into what happened there. Yeah, it's a shame, right? I know people that have done it, and they say it's the most incredible feeling that you can ever imagine. They can't even describe it. And we know that lots of people have gone skydiving. I almost did it in college, and then I was so afraid to tell my mother because I thought, boy, she encouraged everything and not to be afraid of everything. of anything, but I don't know that she would have been up for me skydiving. And then, of course, there was a freak accident, and it was in West Virginia where I was supposed to go. And that pretty much just made my friend and I decide, you know what, we're going to kind of table this whole idea of skydiving, but I don't know, given the right opportunity, I think I would skydive, I do. But I hate hearing that story, right? Because probably they, you know, the client was so excited to do it, and it's a tandem jump, so, ooh, gosh, you feel safer because you're with somebody who's done it so, so many times, and it's just a freak, very sad, weird thing that happened. All right, let's move to this one from Christopher. And Christopher says, hello, Kate Delaney. I will be so glad when we are officially in to spring. I don't care what that little rodent, Puxatani Phil has to say about winter or spring. I want my spring. We have had some very, very strange weather in the Northeast. You never know. I mean, all of the crazy nor'easters, the floods, some of the other things that have happened this year. And yes, Mother Nature, as you say, can always throw that crazy curveball in our direction. But I am totally up for some sunshine, 7 degrees, and just living, just going outside, spending some time doing the barbecue thing, spending some time on the beach or tooling around with the kids and the wife, and maybe catching a ball game if baseball comes back. What do you know about Major League Baseball negotiations? Well, very timely. I agree with you. Nothing better than catching a ball game. Players met for 5 hours in Florida, but they didn't make much, I guess, headway in negotiating on what they were going to do. They met in Jupiter, Florida. And union officials said they were underwhelmed by Major League Baseball's latest proposal. And MLB said it was a wide-ranging, productive conversation on a number of issues, and they want to make progress. So here's the deal. MLB raised its pre-arbitration bonus pool by $5 million to $20 million on Monday, but there's still a $95 million gap in the proposals, and they increased their draft lottery proposal to the top four picks instead of three. The players are looking for a lottery of 8 picks. There were no proposals regarding the luxury tax or minimum salaries. The minimum salary thing is a very big, big deal to the players as to what that's going to be. But it's not good. Baseball, I think, can ill afford to not start up, to lose a chunk of the season, because you got to capture young viewers. How can you seriously do that if you're not playing? How do you get younger generations interested when, guess what? They're interested in skateboarding and so many other things. There's a lot of sports and a lot of other activities, let's say, that can pull younger people in different directions. So that generational deal of handing down the, let's go to the ball game, let's go catch a ball game, let's grab the family, it's 70 degrees, and we want to go see a ball game. Yeah, some of that gets thrown out the window because there are other things to do. So Major League Baseball should figure it out because they're doing themselves a very, very big disservice by not getting back to business. The further you're away with people with short attention spans, the further you're away from the action, the more you pull away fans. Email me anytime, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hi, I'm Al Averoa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500 and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What's on tap? How about this? Mask mandates are falling. Bring back the smiles. Hawaii is the only state with a mask mandate right now. And the governor there says he is working with the Department of Health to determine when the time is right for Hawaii to lift the indoor mask mandate. Hawaii currently requires masks to be worn indoors and recommends them anytime you're near others and have a hard time maintaining physical distancing. However, they are loosening other restrictions coming up soon. That's what's on tap for them. March 25th, that's when their emergency proclamation expires. So it could be that you see that the mask falls away too, and they don't have that mandate any longer. You know, this was kind of eeny, meeny, miny, mo for a while as to what state was doing what. How about this? Do you oppose defending the Ukraine? Well, there is a poll for those things, and there are more polls that are being taken. When we watch what Russia is doing, their move on separatist parts of the eastern Ukraine, they did that on Monday. I talked about that at the top of the show. What we are seeing, and this is from some reliable polls. I mean, polls are polls, right? But the latest poll that I happened to see is this one that showed just, and this is by the Convention of States Action for the Trafalgar Group. They say that just 15.3% of likely voters believe U.S. troops should be provided in the event that Russia invades the Ukraine. This was a poll that was done in January, and they keep taking the polls, so that's what's on tap. They're going to do more of them. But by comparison, a majority of likely voters, that would be 58%, believe the Biden administration should use military assets to defend Taiwan if Taiwan is invaded by China. Yeah, so how about that? And that's voters in all parties.
voters in all parties, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. Conversely, voters sympathize, it looks like, with the Ukraine and support assisting them through diplomatic means, but no support for U.S. military intervention if a conflict arises with Russia. So I wonder if the Biden people are taking note of these polls like this one, because it pretty much was spelled out in many different ways that that's how people feel. And there's always a margin of error, but there's a pretty big bounce between those numbers. The Washington Post editorial board endorses a no-fly list for maskless passengers. We've talked about the unruly passengers and some of the crazy things that have happened the last 2 years. This was something that was hardly ever talked about before. So the editorial board released the grandstanding, they released a thing on the mask mandates, and they said that there needs to be a national registry for violent, unruly, and disruptive airline passengers, right? The board said that there should be a no-fly list, needs to be implemented. The government should take reasonable steps to calibrate its impact, including by ensuring that bans on individuals are temporary for duration linked to the offense's severity, and by establishing a process by which sanctioned individuals can appeal. That sounds like work that I don't believe will get done anytime soon. So this article was sent and was really in response to a letter sent to Attorney General Merrick Garland on February 14th. Lots of love from 8 Republican senators who voiced opposition to the push by airline companies to have a no-fly list. And I think part of the reason is because then what happens with the list? We already have the terrorist list, melding those. What wouldn't the airline have their own separate list? But the point of the no-fly list, including people who are outrageous, would mean they don't fly on any airlines. I don't see that happening anytime soon, but there's lots of discussion about it because implementing it would be a lot tougher. All right, what's on tap here is something that's been talked about in hushed tones and in loud voices in some cases for the last couple of weeks, watching what was happening with those freedom convoys in Canada. There's a convoy of trucks calling itself the People's Convoy heading out from California on Wednesday, planning to tie up traffic on Washington, D.C.'s busy beltway next month to bring attention to lifting COVID-19 vax mandates and other restrictions impacting their ability, they say, to make a living. In a press release on Sunday, this is what was stated. The average American worker needs to be able to end run the economic hardships of the last 2 years and get back to the business of making bread so they can pay their rents, which have soared, and mortgages and help jumpstart this economy. To that end, it's time for elected officials to work with the blue-collar and white-collar workers of America and restore accountability and liberty by lifting all mandates and ending the state of emergency. As COVID is well in hand now, and Americans need to get back to work in a free and unrestricted manner. The convoy, which organizers say is going to be made up of freedom-loving people from all walks of life, genders, races, religions, political affiliations, and states throughout the country, will begin 10 a.m. Pacific on Wednesday from Southern California and make their way to the Beltway Highway System outside D.C. 11 days later on March 5th. So how many, I can tell you this, the Beltway with a clog of truckers like what we saw in Canada would squeeze it off, would choke it. It would. It's already horrible to go around that Beltway area. So the truckers are unified, and they're saying Christians, Muslims, Jews, Mormons, agnostics, everybody, all individuals are welcome to participate by attending the launch gathering, which they say is right there in Southern California at Adelanto Stadium, or by getting in their own vehicles and following the big rigs from that stadium toward the East coast. I'm really curious as to how big this convoy is going to be. There's been a lot of conversation about it, like I said, and it was sort of underground. I've heard about it from a few people for a while, but it's really picking up steam. It's going to happen. How many are going to be involved in this will be very, very interesting. This was a crazy story that still is ongoing. So what's on tap is what's going to happen. A fire finally died down on a ship carrying luxury cars because there was hardly anything left to burn. So how many cars? 4,000 Porsches, Audis, Bentleys, some electric with lithium ion batteries caught fire in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean last Wednesday. 22 crew members on board were evacuated that same day. This cargo ship carrying these thousands of luxury cars was adrift off the coast of Portugal's Azores Islands, and just has the fire lost its intensity because they say there wasn't much left to burn, they believe. And the concern is with pollution since the ship has large amounts of fuel on board and car batteries, but no hotbeds of pollution so far at this point. So what are they going to do? Volkswagen, which owns the brands, did not confirm the total number of cars on board and said heading into the weekend they were awaiting further information because there's still so much that they don't know. They're trying to figure this out. Firefighting teams and technicians might be able to board this huge cargo ship to prepare towing it to either Europe or the Bahamas. They're trying to figure out what direction it will go in. It was the craziest thing to see this. And there are people waiting for cars, and these were these cars that were on the ship. In fact, it's gotten so bad with cars, people have put, you know, have to put a down payment on a car, sometimes that they haven't seen, that they've only seen photographs of. And I don't know, they maybe some of the people listening to the show had a car that was on that ship. So crazy. That's a wrap, as they say, for this hour. Thanks for listening. Remember, 24/7, hit me up, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.